Hey, the Lord makes good things out of the dust. So whatever bad experience you've had, looking toward the Lord and saying, Lord, give me some direction from this. Help me to know You in that. And God will be faithful to befriend you and lead you in your life. Just a pitch for the song and the good news of Christ that is real. One of the things our church is doing the first Saturday in October is to have a great garage sale giveaway. It's when we take good stuff from our homes, or if you know, hey, I'm going to go buy a new football and give it away that day, whatever motivates you, come and have an open garage giveaway where people come and get things that are going to be a blessing to them and say hello and meet them and talk a little bit and offer them a hot dog and something to drink, and God will use that time to honor Himself, just a way of reaching out to people around us and saying, great to meet you, and love to have you come to church, and there'll be Bibles there and different things like that. So pray about that, participate. There is a meeting right after church today to help get that together. It'll be in the youth area. So if you could stay, and if you know how to do a garage sale thing, come and help us. Because otherwise, we're going to be getting things together and not quite sure of ourselves. No prices will be put on the items. That's the easy part. So that's good. But have some good items to pass on. And God will bless in that way. Last number of weeks, thinking about God's work of passing on good news to people. And He's all about that. You know, He's about knocking on the door of your life and saying, hey, I created you. I want to be leading you in your life. And if you have a sense of need for that, God would answer that sense of need with Himself. In the Bible, passing on good news about the Messiah is called evangelism. That's a bringer of good news. And God's Word makes it clear it's 100% God's work and 100% our work. And remember, last week we talked about how many of us are good at passing on good news. When I think of the different parts of the Christian life, I would say, boy, I'm very thankful, and I feel very much grown into many parts of being a believer in the Lord. Worship, love to worship God. Pray, I really like to pray. Don't pray enough, but I like to pray. And serving, I can serve when I see a need. But when it comes to other things, it was mentioned on the screen there, submission. You know, never heard of it. Still working on that one. And then telling the good news. Working on that. Okay, and we thought last week, how many of us are good at passing on the word of Christ to another person? And honestly, nobody was able to raise our hands. But we just said, if we were good at it, you know, we'd have some new friends with us on a regular basis who say, well, I want to know the Lord and follow Him. So it's God's work. We need His help to do it. So have a confidence in Him. And you'll see the questions that the Lord asked in the passage today to Adam and Eve. He is doing the work of bringing the good news. In fact, you might say, God is the only one doing the work of evangelism in Genesis 3. So sometimes He'll be the one doing the work while we get to observe or be a part of it. So He uses some questions, and I thought about questions and how they are a very effective form of communication when asked with a good tone and with love in the heart. School starts up for our young ones. Good chance to learn about God's creation. And one of the things that our children are going to face is a lot of questions in the course of a school year. Probably about 5,000 questions coming your way, you know, September through May. And they kind of get your attention. I remember in seventh grade having a teacher who would give a quiz every week. You never knew which day he was going to give it. So he had to be ready all the time. So God asks you and I questions on a regular basis so we could know how we're doing with Him and how we're doing with life. And He kind of wants to use those questions to open the door of our heart so we get a clear look on what's going on in our relationship with God. Questions that I was asked a lot growing up, and you probably were too. What do you want to be when you grow up? Some of you are still answering that question. Okay, as you face retirement, what do you want to be when you grow up? You could say, well, I want to be a follower of Christ. I want to trust Him. Because then the trillions of years that are ahead of me look bright. Otherwise, it's all fog and shadows. What do you want to be when you grow up? Another question that I was asked confrontationally, and maybe you were too, who do you think you are? Somebody turned it into a song. Who do you think you are, Mr. Big Stuff? It was a 1970 top tenor there. And I remember being asked that question by a teacher and some of my hooligan friends. And who do you think you are? And I really wanted to say as a teenager, I have no idea. Who do you think I am? You know, would you let me know? Until we know God, we're a little bit uncertain of what's going on in our soul. Last question you were probably asked, maybe this past week, why did you do that? That's a tough one. Why did you do that? And if you're ever asked that question, you can give a biblical answer back. It's found in Romans chapter 7. Why did you do that? Sometimes you ask yourself that. And Paul's answer was this: I don't understand what I do. That's a safe confession. You know, when you think of the actions, perhaps, that you took this past week, and you think, why did I do that? You say, I don't understand what I do. I need God to intervene in my life so I have some kind of direction that He would point me to. And in the Bible, the first question the Lord asked humanity, Adam and Eve, which was a true historical event, was this: where are you? And the Lord asked great questions. Where are you? And He asked that question. Bob preached about this a couple contemporary services ago. He wasn't saying, are you behind the pine tree or the oak tree? You know, what pew are you in today? Where are you? He was asking Adam and Eve, where are you in relationship to Me? What's the state of your soul, John Wesley would say? What's the condition of your heart? And when God asked the question, a great opportunity for honesty before Him. If He were to ask us the question, where are you with Me today? You could just answer honestly to the Lord. You could say, I don't care. I don't care where I am with You. Or you could say, far away. Or you could say, I'm really mad. That's where I am with You. You know, and see how the Lord would move toward you and not away from you if you did that. You could say, I'm full of dots. Or you could say, I need help. I'm open. Whatever you say back to the Lord, where are you in regards to Me? Whatever you say back to Him, you can be sure He will approach you with truth and good news of Himself. That is what He did to Adam and Eve, who had just blown it. And then He asked another question later in the conversation. He says this: what is this you have done? Now, we could ask ourselves that just about this past week. You know, what did I do this past week? What did I do with my life? What is this you have done? Adam and Eve and myself. And those questions God uses to open the door so we can move toward Him, not away from Him. And in sharing the good news of Christ, I think He would ask that question to our own souls, and sometimes He would use us to ask that question to somebody else who is struggling in life. Where are you with God? What is this you have done with your life? And I picked out a number of questions that Jesus asked in the Scripture that were really soul-searching questions, and I think God's going to use some of them to jar your relationship with Him and then see how they might help another person in your life who struggles with faith. Okay, the questions from the Lord. And all these questions, since they're from the Bible, as Hebrews chapter 4 says, they are going to show us the thoughts and intentions of our heart. Okay, that's like a sharp, there's a sharpness to them. So let God ask you questions. If you go through the Bible, it's full of questions the Lord asked, and sometimes we asked Him. One of my favorite questions in early in the Psalms is, David said, who can discern his errors? In other words, I can't even see when I'm off with God. But Jesus asked these questions, and I think they'd be helpful to your own soul, and maybe be helpful to a person you care about and who's struggling in faith. Okay, one of the first questions Jesus asked a year and a half after his disciples are following him is this: who do you say that I am? Okay, that's a powerful question that our own soul has to answer. And the Lord expects an answer. If we say we don't know, they say, well, I don't know. Back in Jesus' day, they were saying, well, maybe you're a prophet. There's a lot of people in the world look at Jesus as a prophet. Interesting, the Muslim faith says he's a prophet. Some say a good teacher. Folks in a Jewish background say he was a good teacher. So there's some respect toward the Lord there. That's good. It kind of opens the door for Jesus to tell us more. Who do you say that I am? And if a person says, I think you're God's son, you know, if you say that, that's a life-changing answer. That totally redirects your thinking and the direction of your life. If you say he's God's son, that means my heart is going to have to respond to him in some kind of surrender, because he is somebody I have to deal with. You say the Lamb, you know, John the Baptist said he's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. If your own soul struggles with forgiveness, who is going to be jumping into your circle on your behalf? It's Christ, taking away the sin of the world. How great is that? He's called the King of Kings. So he's the best one we could ever get to know or deal with. You might mention to your friend or to your own soul, you know, when Peter responded to that question, you know what he said? He said, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, Peter, you're right. It's pretty incredible. Either Jesus was out to lunch at that point, or he was helping Peter get to know him. So that's a great question. Ask your own soul. Perhaps pass it on so that it would be a help to somebody else who needs good news. Another question, Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? That's a big one. Jesus is telling us, I rose from the dead. So I have news about life for yourself and people you know who have faced death. You know, Christ beat death for them to offer them eternal life. I'm the resurrection and the life. Who would say, hey, I'm life itself? Again, Jesus either had a really big ego, or he was honestly pointing people to himself, which we desperately need. And then, do you believe this? You answer that in your soul. Do you believe he's the resurrection and the life? All of a sudden, fears aren't so intimidating. All of a sudden, the future looks like God's going to win. Resurrection and the life. Great question to ask your soul, and let Jesus ask you that. This is a tough one, which I don't ask this one unless I know the person very, very well. What's it profit you if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? You think about the things you've experienced this past week or month. You know, what did it profit you? What was the gain that you experienced? Was it an increase in your checkbook balance? You know, is that what turned you on? Was it a little bit more fun in your life? What did you profit from what you threw your life into? And, you know, are you losing your soul while you're doing that? Are you dying inside? Or shriveling up? What profits person if you gain the whole world, you use your soul. An article that kind of summarizes life and death just expressed well, I think. Ever wonder what happens when you die? Okay, who doesn't? There's only two options. Either nothing happens when you die. Everybody goes to the same place. Nowhere. Okay, so what's the point of that? If that was true, I'd live like an animal and I'd make sure I'm at the top of the hill at the end of the day. That would be my total motivation. What else would there be? What happens when you die? Either nothing or you go to heaven or hell, as the Savior would teach. If there is no God, life has no value. What profit is it for you to gain the whole world? If someone dies, who cares? But if there is a God, and Jesus tells us about Him, then there's heaven. What a gift. And there's hell. What a terrible choice and destination. And as you ask the Son of God to come into your life, He gives forgiveness and mercy. I love the part of the song where Katie and Bob sang, everybody needs compassion, everybody needs forgiveness. You'll find that in the Lord and in Him alone. But ask that question. What profits you to gain the whole world and lose your soul? You might ask that to a friend who maybe is very successful, and they say, I can't go any higher in the work I'm doing, and I'm not really that happy. The state of your soul. I heard a good sermon this morning on stewardship. Andy Stanley, Charles's son, said, when it comes to what God gives us, remember three principles: give, save, and live on the rest. I wish somebody told me that 45 years ago. You know, give, save, live on the rest. That's putting life in perspective. Another good question Jesus asks: what do you want me to do for you? In your own soul before God, what is the deepest need? Is it loneliness? Is it answer to something that happened and it just, every time you think of it, it just kills you inside? Or is it a sense of, Lord, I need to know You win in this situation. You win in the long run and You win in my own heart. What do You want me to do for You? Your friend who doesn't believe in God, you might just ask him sometime, what do You want God to do for you? And just listen. Well, I want Him to, straighten out my mind or my soul. I want Him to help me in relationships, whatever it is. What do You want me to do for You? Jesus is willing. Another great question. Do you want to get well? Jesus said He came pretty unhealthy. So if you're here today and you're well 100% in your soul, you might as well get an early benediction. There's nothing here for you. But if you're unhealthy in some manner, in your soul, in your walk with God, or how you're doing with life, Jesus would say, do you want to get well? Then He will help you very powerfully. So in this question, Jesus asked right after He washed the feet of His disciples, He said, do you understand what I have done for you? A great question to ask ourselves about the cross, and a great question to ask people who are thinking about the Lord. Do you understand what God has done for you? On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. It was a symbol of suffering and shame. And the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. Understand what God has done for you. When we talk about the Lord, only God can open a door that we could express such things to another human being, We could barely get it out of our own mouth because it hits us where we live. Remember, when we talk about the Lord, we're talking about our loved one. So it makes sense to do that. And remember, it's the responsibility and privilege of every believer. Not just those with the gift of gab. Really the responsibility and privilege of every believer. And I put together just a couple of more questions that might be good tools for you when you're trying to share the news of Christ with another person. And you do so because you care about Him. There's no other reason to do it. The Lord asks you to do it. It's a adaptation to the Lord's question in the Garden of Eden. Where are you? Where are you with Christ? Far away. I can almost believe in Him. I wish it were true. Well, why do you think your heart's built to go in His direction? Where are you with Christ? I've asked people this question a lot, and I usually follow it up by saying, are you real excited about Him? Are you totally not interested? Or are you somewhere in the middle? Almost everybody answers, I'm somewhere in the middle. Very non-committed. That's the way our society is. I'm somewhere in the middle. And then I usually say, well, what do you think God would want you to do so you get very excited about Him? Is there anything? Would you? Most of them would say, I start going to church, you know. Don't know why I start. At least there's some people there that seem like they want to believe in Christ and follow Him. Where are you with Christ? Here's another more direct way to do it. If you're not timid, where do you stand with the Lord? All right, the conversation will change at that point. Only God can use it to help a person. Remember, you're not to come off like a Mr. Know-it-all religious guy. You know, we salute you, Mr. Real Man of Genius, Religious Bible Question Guy, or whatever that commercial would say. Have you received Christ, or are you still on the way? That's a direct question that can help people. Or have you received Christ, or are you still on the way? I remember asking a person something like this, who was raised in the church, rejected God. The Lord's a pain, and Christians are hypocrites. That's basically it was the theme of his life. But I knew he had a heart for the truth and a heart for goodness. He was a teacher, and he treated young people well. And I said, Dave, all I've seen in your life, I would say that you would really want to follow Christ and believe in Him. And he started to talk about the pains in his life, you know. And his mom used to talk to him about this all the time. And he misses his mom. And it was so special for him to share those things. And we got to talk about heaven, got to talk about where his heart was. And God used that, so he turned to the Lord and started following Him in a great way. How would you like to receive Christ and be sure of Him? If you ever get to a point where you're asking somebody that, you know God has really allowed you to have an open conversation with somebody. And again, what's your motivation? Because you're talking about your loved one and you know Christ loves this person. How often do I ask this question to somebody on, you know, every year? Not very often. I want to ask more. Because I think God says, hey, tell people good news. Tell people good news. And if somebody is at that point with you, you, as someone said, take your shoes off, you're on holy ground. Because the person's thinking about, you know, life itself. Yeah, I want to be with the Savior, the Messiah. No, not yet. And it's a very special time between God and them. And God might talk to him later. I'm sure people around me asked me about this when I was growing up. And it was pretty much, yeah, I believe in God. Yeah, but I don't want to be religious like you. You're kind of strange. But eventually, God kept asking me. And I was glad for the opportunity. For God to use questions that you ask from the heart, from God's heart to the other person's heart. And you say, well, how can I lead them? I think to tell a person, you know, admit your need. Admit, hey, I need God in my life. I need forgiveness and compassion that we heard this song about here. And forgive Yeah, forgiveness, compassion, and closeness with God. And then I do believe He died on the cross for me, not just for accident, not just because people at the time were angry with Him or there was some kind of political, you know, conflicts going on. That's all boring. It was because He was on a mission to help us, to give us salvation. And then call on Christ in prayer to come into your life. So you admit, you believe, and then you call on Christ in prayer. You help somebody the best they know how to believe in Jesus. And remember, God will use you in His bringing good news to others. Remember in Genesis, He did it alone. But if you were there in Genesis and He was talking to Adam and Eve, He'd have said, "Hey, come here. Be a part of what's happening here for Adam and Eve to be at peace with God again." And what a privilege that would be. Well, that's what He does with you and I as we share the news of Christ to others. Just an appeal, if you're here this morning and you know everything about Christ, you would say, "He's good, He's honorable, He's right." Let your heart give Him a look. And if you turn to Him and say, "Come into my life," He will do that. And He'll stay with you and make you a new, the Bible says, a new person. Some of you would really like to be a new person. Only God can do that for you through faith in the Lord. And well, let's close in prayer. Commit these questions to God. May He allow us to pass on His news as He opens doors. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You for questions You ask people in the Bible, not to push them away or just say, "You're right and we're wrong." That's blatantly obvious. But we would use those questions to our own hearts to be at peace with You, and would want to hear those questions asked to some of our loved ones so that they might say, "Christ is life for me. And He's the only one who makes sense out of life. He's my anchor. He's my salvation." Might there be that assurance in hearts today that You would give. And keep us praying and loving people around us so we could pass on this good news. Father, we're not good at it. We're clumsy with it. We want to let somebody else do it. We have every excuse except to say, "This is a blessing." So make us a blessing, please. Hear us as we pray for some people physically hurting. We pray for Pegon Terreiner, for Bob Anderson, for Sheila Gilpatrick, for Mrs. Simpson, and you'd build up these folks who need Your care, for Fred Azevedo and Mrs. Cumming. And I ask for a good week among Your people, Father, filled with Your peace, Your good news, and giving that life that You've given us to others through Christ. In Your name we pray. Amen.